Well, we welcome you back to the Word for Life Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman. We've been looking at Matthew 11, 28 to 30. The unheeded invitation is what we've called it, because so often the invitation of the Lord to come unto him, all we that labor and are heavy laden, and he will give us rest. So often that invitation is unheeded. Well, we feel like we can find rest somewhere else, but lo and behold, we find ourselves tired, exhausted, ready to drop, but the invitation is still there. And he says, take my yoke upon you. That's his interpretation of the Word of God, which of course is the truth. Take it upon you and learn of me. Now that's an interesting expression, to learn of Christ. Some of you who are listening to our broadcast this morning may be getting ready to go to school. Some may be in college. And the learning process is continuing. But you know what? Even after you get out of school, after you get out of college, the learning process still continues. Because the Lord wants us to learn of him. And every situation that we face, the question should be asked, Lord, what is it that you have for me to learn in this situation? Jesus said, learn of me. See, it's a process. It's to be learned by use. A great study is John 15, where Jesus talks abiding in Christ, to learn of him. Take some time to study John 15. I think you'll see what I mean. But the Bible says, learn of me. So every situation that you're going through, every relationship issue that you're struggling with, what can you learn about yourself? What can you learn about God? He said, learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Now, it doesn't say that he's weak. It says that he's meek. That means that he's humble, gentle, self-controlled. Now, since the text says that Christ is meek and lowly in heart, and we are to learn of him, that means that we are to learn how to be meek, how to be humble, how to be gentle, how to be self-controlled. And that simply means to look to the Lord for his dealing in our broken relationships. Wait upon the Lord for him to bring people to themselves as the father of the prodigal son did, and not take matters into our own hands. Meek and lowly, a low estate. It literally means to be cast down. Jesus said he was of a low estate. Now that's the total opposite of what you and I are trained to think of ourselves. We are trained to love ourselves and think highly of ourselves. Jesus said, no, not so. But I want you to learn of me. I want you to learn how to be of low estate, how to be cast down, how to be in the shadows, how to be the one that nobody necessarily thinks about when praise is offered, because you're not out there in the spotlight looking for praise. So when you're cast down, when you're made of lower estate than you like, the question is, are you meek about it, or are you fighting it? See, that's the question. Is it an issue of temper? Because so often that's the way we find ourselves responding, with temper. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 16 tells us that we should always respond with the fruit of the Spirit. Not temper, but temperate. Now, if I am to be meek and lowly, then I have to start my day, really start my day with the Lord, making myself open and available to him. And that's why it's so important for us to be spending this time together first thing in the morning. In fact, Jeremiah 10:23 said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in a man that walketh to direct his steps. How true that is. It is not in ourselves to direct our steps. And so at the beginning of each day, we need to just kind of lay the day before the Lord and all the list of responsibilities and ask Him to guide me with right priorities at the beginning of the day. Or is it His invitation that is so often unheeded most of the time? See, He said, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest unto your souls." Is there a pocket of reflection time before you're busy, busy, busy? Do you have time that just you and the Lord get alone? Do you awaken many mornings exhausted? Psalm 127:2 says, "It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep." Now, are you His beloved? If you know Christ as your personal Savior, yes, you are. But do you allow Him to be a part of everything that you do? Do you allow Him to make all the major decisions? I heard of a man who said that he and his wife were building a new house, and he was going to be making all the major decisions, and she was going to be making all the minor decisions. When the house was built, he looked at me and he said, "You know, Pastor, we built that house, and there never was one major decision to be made." Yeah, I bet not. Because his wife was making all the minor decisions. Is that the way it is with you and the Lord? Have you said, "Lord, you can make all the major decisions, I'll make all the minor decisions," but you never give God any decisions to make? It's always your plan, your thoughts, your ways. How sad it is if that's true in your life. But I want you to notice the satisfaction of accepting that invitation. "Come, come now, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Because verse 28 says that I will give you rest. Christ has promised to give us rest. But we now see that it's found after service with Him and after surrender to Him, learning meekness. After service and after surrender. Now, the word rest there means intermission that refreshes. Intermission that refreshes. I will give you an intermission that refreshes you. Maybe in the midst of a battle, you desperately need rest, like halftime in the middle of a game. You saturate yourself in the Word of God and learn of Him, and you know you'll find that His sovereign rest becomes your intermission that refreshes. You'll be able to get back into the battle again. And then you'll find that His yoke is easy. Now, the word easy means well-fitting, and His burden is light. The only other time that the word light is used is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17 that talks about our light affliction, which is but for a moment, that worketh for us an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. A light affliction that works for us. And so the Bible is telling us that His burden is light, and it's working for us. But we'll notice that in the previous verse, we have to have the attitude that our inward man is renewed day by day. That's 2 Corinthians 4:16. Now, if you're to find rest in your soul, your inward man has to be renewed day by day. Somebody said, "Day by day is the only way." And it is. Day by day has to be the only way. And you have to allow the Lord to be the one that paints the picture of your life, so to speak. Somebody described our life as a huge mural that's being painted. And so often we end up holding the brush in our hands. But if He's the painter, then you and I are no more than the brush. We're not the painter. We're the brush. The painter always gets the credit for the picture, never the brush. Are you kind of frustrated about the painter-brush arrangement, so to speak? See, if He's the painter, He will then determine the amount of work that He's going to do on your mural every day. In the early years of the Italian Renaissance, painters like Michelangelo were often commissioned to paint enormous murals. And the best method they found for these murals was fresco painting, in which you paint right onto a wet plaster wall. That way the paint and the plaster dry together and the crisp, vivid colors were eternally preserved. But it's not possible to plaster and paint an entire wall in one day, and so they would just kind of plaster just what they knew they could paint in the course of that day. If the painter was painting this huge background, then he'd be able to paint a stretch of wall 10 feet by 10 feet, maybe. But if he's working on the details of maybe a bouquet of pink roses or something, he would only finish a small portion, maybe the size of a dinner plate. So every morning, the painter mixed up a small bucket of plaster, and then he would coat the portion of the wall that he believed he would be able to finish before the sun went down that night. And that small portion of the whole wall was called the day piece. The day piece. The work that could be done in a day. And isn't that a fantastic picture of how God works in our lives? Life isn't a crowded to-do list of things that God's trying to accomplish on this huge blank stretch of canvas. The master painter knows exactly what needs to be painted that day. Sometimes it's a huge thing. Sometimes God does some amazing things in your life. But then there are some days that he wants to do some detail work in your life. That he wants to cause you to understand some very important, intricate designs of his plan for you. And so there are days that he's just doing a small, quiet work on your interior. We love it when he's working on the exterior, that which other people can see. But God knows that the interior needs to be worked upon as well. So the question is, if he indeed is the painter, are you allowing him to hold the brush? Or are you wanting to be the painter of your life? Are you wanting to be the one that says, no, God, I will determine what happens? And when that happens, we do not understand the light afflictions that come our way. Come now unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And when we do, we'll begin to understand that God is working on the inside as well as the outside. So what is God doing in your life today? What is God wanting to accomplish in you and then through you? Remember, if God's not doing something for you, then he's doing something in you, that he might do something great through you for his glory and the benefit of others. And so until the next time, don't let this invitation be unheeded anymore. Come unto him and find peace and rest for your souls. May the Lord bless you.